female, he's been feeding down the skid row for years.
So what happened, there's a fellow through my other church, a husband and wife, who has been before 2009 down in Skid Row. So I kind of joined their cause and helped them out every month. I mean, we were feeding like, we were setting up on San Pedro on 5th, probably feeding 500 people each day. Yeah, it was pretty big. We had a lot of help. We set up tables, you know, with food. They got hot food. We had desserts. We had Bibles. And we had a lot of help back then to where, you know, we're feeding. We had a big line going, and we had people praying with everybody, helping, you know, doing everything we can. So then they decided to go on and do their own thing. So they want to do another ministry, like deal with, help couples, you know, through marriage counseling. So they asked me because they knew I had the finances and the will to keep it going. So at that point, he asked me if I wanted to take it over. So I did. Then, but eventually, his people that were doing it before started dwindling off. So I kept it going, kept it going. So then, you know, COVID hit. So I've probably been doing it for about 10 years. So we got to a point to where we almost had to restart it. So now we've been down there. And what we do now, before we used to set up everything on the sidewalks and big long tables. And we'd have, you know, everybody would line up. Then we'd say a prayer. But we kind of lost a lot of the prayer warriors down there. But we were serving. So then COVID hit. So we had to adjust things to keep everybody safe. So what we did, we feed anywhere from 200 to 400 per day when we're down there. So what we did is meet at the house. We had the hot food. We put it into go boxes. We got bags. So we put these bags together. Each bag would, most of them would have new blankets in. So we put about 200 to 300 bags together. They had hygiene. We didn't put the Bibles in there because some people weren't doing it, but we always had the Bibles out we were passing out. So we had all kinds of, you know, snacks, food, hygiene stuff, sanitizer, all kinds of stuff. Snacks for later, drinks for later. Then they get hot food too, so they get two things. But it was really great down there because then we do tents too. But anytime I buy tents, I gotta, you know, keep that. You can't let people know or people fight over it. And you know, Skid Row is pretty crazy right now. I don't know if anybody's seen pictures. It's pretty bad down there. I mean, you can't even walk down the sidewalk because there's tents everywhere. And what's really funny is we've been down there since 2009, and out of all the weather, we got rained on once. It's just a blessing. It's like God was always protecting us. It'd be raining, then once we set up, it would stop. Then as we're closing up, it would start raining again. It was just a blessing. I mean, believers could understand that. It was just pretty cool. So then, with those adjustments lately, we've been doing that. We're keeping strong, and we're still feeding 200 to 300, and you know, passing out Bibles and everything. And it gets a, you know, we brought our kids down there too because people are worried about safety. It does get a little crazy sometimes, but if somebody gets out of hand down there, they kind of take care of it. But it's just been a real blessing down there to just. I give out my cell number to people down there if they need tents or something. So I'll come during the week, get them stuff. I try to find housing for people and just do what we can down there. And it's been a blessing. And but, you know, even since COVID, we really didn't skip a beat. And we got it set up to where right now we're down to, gosh, maybe 10 people helping. So we had like 25, 30 people before, and that was great because we had all the prayer people because everybody, you know, we could pray with them individually, talk to them, spend more time with them, be more personable with them. But with the limited group, we're still able to, you know, definitely talk to them, pray with them, but not as much. But feed them, give them Bibles. And one thing we do for Christmas, too, what we usually do is buy a bunch of unwrapped gifts. And we bring, you know, when we see kids down there, then we bring them to the back of the SUV or whatever we have, and they get to pick out gifts. And it's, you know, you got to kind of monitor the people, like, oh, I got 3 grandchildren, I got this, and people always taking stuff. But it's been a real blessing, so I send this out to everybody I meet. And what's great is you find out who's, you know, helping. I get people, I sold a house, they moved away about a year ago. And but every month when I send out that email, he FedEx brand new blankets. So we've got a lot of help, and so I got a family. It's funny. I got a family that's been helping me. They've been like my rock during it, and so it's kind of testifying to them because they're not real believers right now, but they were clients, decided to help, and more. Now I see them praying, and there's some people down there, like for instance, Lady Dorothy, she lives down there, just a wonderful, wonderful Christian woman, and she lives down there, and I always try to help her and stuff. She goes, this is where God wants me, this is where, you know, several people saying that, and so, and I haven't seen her in a while, so I'm praying that she moved on to something good, because she is a wonderful person. But what's great about her, when we bring the kids down there to help, she'll ask them for a water. Then before they give, she makes them, bless the water and stuff like that. So you got tons of people down there like that. And I think his name's Edgar. He was always down there too. And he would always help. He'd clean up everything at the end. He would, you know, he didn't speak good English, but, you know, I did everything I can to find him places. He would work and, you know, just a real, and he goes, this is where Jesus wants me. So I'm going to preach down here and, you know, he needed shoes one time, and I got him brand new shoes, and he was kind of like, I need used shoes. It was kind of difficult for him, but it just shows you there are a lot of good people down there, and you know, a lot of them are struggling because, you know, if something happens to one of us, we got a big family to take care of us, walk us through. You know, they got addictions, mental health issues. And some of the people didn't have that. So they went from a marriage and successful life, and they snowballed, and next thing you know, they're on the street. And it is so bad down there. I mean, we had to move it off San Pedro and 6 off the main street to go on Crocker and 5th. But I know a lot of the people down there, so they recognize me. I feel safe. We had a couple little incidents here and there, but it got taken care of out of, 12 years. And it's just been a blessing down there just to serve. And people always ask, why do you do that when we got stuff, you know, people local? They're, you know, I live in Simi. And they've got a lot of places to go. It's not bad. Down in Skid Row, it is bad. It is really bad. I mean, they've got, I think Skid Row is like 50 blocks. That's what they call it. It's pretty big. And there are tents where, and it's just so bad to where, I don't, who knows what our governor's doing, but he would do a cleanup, and they would just totally clean everything. Then as it's drying, they're allowing people to set their tents back down. So it's not getting any better. It's growing down there. And but like I said, it's been a blessing, and it's given me a chance to really share my faith with the people who are helping me. It's family, and through them, they've got believing friends, so we're all working on them. They're not denying the faith at all. It's just new to them. So that's something, if you guys can pray for that, that'd be great. But more and more, and going back to Dorothy, she was one of the ones that she was having the kids pray, her kids, and even them. So it's just a blessing. She's like a little angel down there. And but they do need a lot of help down there. And we continue to do it. So I'm doing a jacket drive. I always do jacket drives, you know, in warm clothes during the winter. And blanket drives all the time. So, you know, I've got people mailing blankets. So, you know, we'll give 200 to 300 brand new blankets each time along in the bags. And the food, you know, I usually serve them like the fried chicken and pizza, and they get a lot of food. They get snacks, they get plenty of food, but they all get Bibles too, and we all talk, and I give out my cell number, and they tell me their wish list. I come down during the week, or I bring it next time. It definitely has been a blessing, and you know, just trying to get it to grow again. You know, I would love to just not do it just once a month, but being able to have the resources to do it like every weekend, then build on it from there, because it's a huge need down there. You know, out of the United States, it's probably one of the, everybody kind of hears a Skid Row, and not a lot of people want to go down there, but I've had my kids since they're that tall, and now they're like, gosh, that was 12, 13, 14 years ago, and they were down there from the beginning. When we were setting up tables, they'd be behind the tables, but I never feel like it was a threat, and it's just been a blessing down there. And so anybody, you know, Fritz will send out my email if anybody wants to help or pray or know who to pray for, you know, that would definitely help us out. We've been blessed financially too. You know, I've been doing very good, so it's totally funded. We don't ask for donations, but we've had this doctor, you know, it's just out of the blue. He donated $1,000, and through my friends, this family, then the next weekend, they donate another $1,000. So it's able to really, really buy a lot of stuff. But Christmas is great, too, because we get to buy all these gifts for the kids. And if anybody knows where I can get better deals on Bibles, that'd be great. I'm usually buying as many as I can at the dollar store. And that's been a blessing because I can buy a lot of them, but I always buy them out. So, yeah. Anybody have any questions about?
Where exactly is Skid Row? I've always heard about it, but I have no idea.
Yeah, so if you're going. Yes, right past San Pedro. We get off on the exit on Los Angeles, and it's kind of where San Pedro on 6th. Right there. You've got a couple missions down there. Then it kind of just goes blocks and blocks and blocks. It's, you know, and there's just tents everywhere. Main Street. We always set up on San Pedro on 5th, too, because there's a big LAPD camera there, too. So just in case everything. I mean, it's a huge camera. It's up top. So we always go there. And, it's not getting better down there.
When you assemble your packages, you do it at your house, right?
Yeah, we started doing that after COVID. That way, because it was set up.
Do you need people to come when you do that?
Do
you even know, because you don't know what you're getting? How do you rate
so them? Here's what I do. So I send out an email each week prior. I send it out Monday when we're going to serve Saturday. We always do the Saturdays. So I order food. So Vons has been great, because I order the fried chicken through them, order about 350 plus pieces, then the night before Little Caesar's Pizza, I order about 50 plus large pepperoni pizzas. So, and they come in early, so they've been a blessing all these years, because they have to bring people in early, because I need to pick it up by 10:30 to 10:40. Then people come over at 11 and we start putting together the bags. Then in the kitchen we start boxing the food. So when we put it on these to-go boxes and we put it in a big box and we kind of seal that up, keeps the food warm, plus fried chicken. I mean, it's really good food, and even if it's cold, it's still good. So we do that in the front room. They're putting together the bags. We just use like a white trash bags with the cinch thing, because they like those down there. They love the bags. Then we load it up in this truck and the cars, and we drive down there, and it's worked out pretty good. I mean, I think, you know, the pivot we made for COVID ended up working out. We didn't skip a beat. It's actually easier to pass out now. But I do like, you know, I would like it to get back to the tables, because it's more personable. The people lining up, you're able to pray before the food and bless the food, and they line up. Then that was when we had more help, and we'd have three long tables of food, then Bibles on the end, and drinks and desserts. Then the tables on there, we'd put those a little further away, because that would be a bunch of clothes. So we'd have people, you know, separating the clothes and men's and women's and kids, and because people were kind of, that would halt the line if we didn't push that back. So we haven't had the room to take as much clothes, because then we got to a point people were just dropping off like junk, and so we had to decipher through that. But yeah, we meet at the house. It's usually right around, we want to leave, we would like to get there by noon, but it's tough with the food. So we meet at my house around 10:30 on the Saturday. So that's answered that.
Did used clothing or?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, good quality used clothing, like especially men's jeans and women's clothes, and blankets are good, especially now. And you know, the people do have options down there too, but some of them, they want their own. You know, they don't adhere by rules very well. So
you mentioned jackets. The time for jackets.
Yes.
So if we had any, how would we get them to you?
Okay, so Fritz will send everybody my email and phone number. You can call me. I will pick them up gladly, and
we'll work it out.
Yeah.
They can bring them. I can collect them.
Sweatshirts, warm clothes, stuff like that, and socks are huge. We always buy a lot of socks because they need clean socks. We get them all kinds of stuff. I pick up little kids' Bible books and stuff for kids to, you know, be introduced to the Word, little things like that. And the dollar store is great because I can buy a lot of snacks there too, like give them boxes of stuff. That way they have food for later, for the next day. So we give them as much as possible, and you know, the help, as minimal as it has, we've really expanded and, you know, take care of, you know, we do pretty good for the small, to going from almost 30 people down to maybe 7 to 10, but we still do it good. And
are there other groups down there?
It's funny you said that. I was serving one day, it was a few years back, and there's this pastor, he had his church down there. And we had a ton of food. They were set up, and I started serving with them. He wanted to combine and do it together, so we were serving together for a while, then COVID hit, and I just kept doing my thing. But not as much. Now, pre-COVID there was a lot of people.
Were there a lot of children there?
Yeah, I mean, not kind of walking around, but there are some in the missions. So what we do, if we have extra clothes and stuff, we'll go drop them off at the missions. And what was great, when we were setting up on San Pedro and 6, across the street was a mission. So that way we can bring our unwrapped gifts and stuff. But we always had, you know, people wanting the gifts. So when we see a family walk in with a bunch of kids, we always bring them, you know, make sure they come over and make sure they get a lot of stuff. And, you know, I do give out my number down there for people who, you can decipher through the people that are genuine and, you know, go down there during the week, bring them a tent, bring them some clothes, and it's worked out pretty well. But, yeah, there's huge need down there for sure. It's getting bad.
That Dorothy you were mentioning, was she one of the homeless?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of believing people down there that, I mean, she, blessing, she would make sure everybody prays, and she's just a wonderful person. And I always try to say, what can I do for you? You know, just
now,
pray.
Now, did you say she had a child?
No, not her. No. There was a lady there too, because it's pretty bad down there to where we bring this lady extra water because sometimes people have babies down there and they're very dirty, and she would clean them and watch them, and you know, these people be on drugs, and she kind of hoped that they didn't come back for the baby for a day or two, because that way she can make sure she gives them to the right people, that way that baby has a life. So it's, but there's a lot of people down there, a lot of people. And that's why you get all the businesses that are moving out, because they're just blocking everything. But it's definitely, I enjoy doing it. I look forward to it all the time.
When you say in the missions, do they let the homeless in some of the missions?
Yeah, but there's rules, and a lot of them don't want to adhere by rules. Maybe there's some testing. They got to be there at a certain time. They're setting the rules, and some of them don't want to, you know.
Okay.
Let's be honest, some of them down there just aren't great people at this point of their life, and there's a lot of addiction. So when they took away the mental health help down there, that was a big struggle,
mm-hmm.
and I seen it. But there are people willing to help. I went down there, I brought, this gentleman called me, so I went during the week and met him where we set up, and he wanted a tent, some clothes and stuff, so I ended up, and I put a big care package together for him. So I met him down there, and there's this, and I pull up, and there's this guy, he's really shaking. He was just, you can tell he's just coming off heroin. And so I'm sitting there talking to him, praying with him, and then he was coherent and everything. So I had a new sleeping bag I gave him, and I gave him some other stuff. And then the lady comes walking across the street. She had a badge on, and she was a healthcare worker, and she was trying to get him in because to go through the rehab system. She was like, she knew him. And he almost did, but he wasn't quite there yet. And, you know, because they got to do it under their own. They don't force them to do it down there. But so there, you can tell there was some help there. People needed it and wanted to. But I couldn't imagine. I mean, the addiction, not having family support and everything, it's got to be difficult. And once I used to be a little judgmental in the past when I seen that. But once you see it firsthand, you go, gosh, that's highly addictive. And if you don't have the family and the support system, it's got to be tough. And they feel hopeless down there.
Are the police around at all?
Yeah, they make their rounds. And they know people down there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think we had two incidents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and usually it's kind of like people like just bad mouthing.
Okay.
And I mean, one guy pulled a knife one time, but it's just like you never feel threatened down there. I always feel protected because even the people you're serving down there, they're put up with that, so they take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just a 1% chance. I mean, I wouldn't bring my kids if I thought it was like a bad thing. But, you know, it's been nice. So my whole point was to try to grow this and grow this, like do it every week, but kind of, you know, we're doing what we can, and we feed a lot when we do go down there because there's a need. And we want to try to, if we can get the food, if we can get down there by noon when they're really hungry, that's great. But we bring down good quality food, so they really appreciate it.
How did they survive with help like your program?
Well, they do have options if they choose it, okay? But they got to follow some rules, and a lot of them don't want to.
Right.
There are missions, there are churches down there too that you can go to even during the day, even during the weekday. So they do have a lot of different, like the Midnight Mission and other places. But like you said, there's just like some people that just don't want to follow rules. And
mm-hmm. There is that option.
They do have options if they need to, if they really need to. I mean, I don't see anybody dying from starvation down there unless they just didn't go through the right channels. But, you know, there are people down there that do try to help. I haven't seen people setting up since COVID because there's really no place to set up.
Right.
That's why we had to adjust everything. And it's just maybe people are scared. I don't know. Maybe this whole thing about... You know, what's crazy is they're talking about all this thing about COVID, but I still see the same people that have no health care down there just doing fine. And it's so...
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
With COVID.
Yeah.
There was a lot of death.
Yeah. But not down there. Mm-hmm. And they're not protected, so... What's that tell you?
That tells us, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I've always said, okay, we're going to see the truth down there. And it's not like a few people. There's a lot of people. I mean, there's a guy I've known for years, and he's got his tent set up right under the LAPD. So I go there. I know him. I always make sure I stop and talk to him for a little bit. He's kind of a buddy of mine now. And he just got out of the hospital, almost died because of... he got, what's that called? It was from rat feces. He got sick because of that. Something like that. And he's like, and that's pretty bad down there. I mean, that I think that's a big threat down there. Because you don't see them during the day, but they are everywhere. I mean, it's pretty dirty down there. And at least the city cleans it. I mean, you know, that's the one time I really wear a mask is we do the good mask and I'm not worried about it so much, but we wear the gloves and everything and we just take our precautions down there because there's other things you got to worry about, mm-hmm. you know, other than catching the flu or something like that.
Yeah.
It's
can people drive down the streets? You see there's...
Yeah, you just drive slow because those people walk right in front of you, they don't care. They don't care. Yeah, a couple dogs down there, we always bring extra dog treats and stuff for just try to think of everything. We really wanted to take home this one dog, but he's like everybody knows him. And it's like a really, what kind of dog was that?
I think it was Belgian.
Like the other dogs. It's so nice. It's such a good dog, but yeah, they love him down there.
Yeah,
love her.
Yeah. So, does the city just accept this as a reality?
Yep.
And do they put up porta potties or anything? And where are people going on the street?
To be honest with you, I mean, I was walking. So we're walking, so we set up and people line up there, but we get a couple of the guys and we'll just start branching off with food and bags and passing them out in tents and stuff. And, you know, that's why I could say hi to the people I know. And the guy right in the corner, you know, busy street, just going right there. So, and I'm sure they don't, usually they treat their tent and area like it's their own home. So they're not going to let people just do that everywhere, just the Skid Row community. I mean, they do have some sense of, like, pride of ownership so much. You know, they want their space, and they don't want somebody to go in the bathroom, but that just happens. And so, but no, I don't see porta potties down there.
I was just going to say, would the missions that are around there,
they would probably let them in.
Right.
They would probably let them in. But, you know, they're very skeptical. They're harder on a lot of people because they see every excuse. They see how these people live.
Right.
And if they just follow, you know, you'll see more of the people like the single moms with maybe some kids and stuff that will go in there. And, you know, there are programs if people do it right and they will find some sort of subsidizing, you know, some sort of housing for them. So it's pretty sad, though. Just, I mean, this is... It's one of the biggest cities in the world. Mm-hmm. And allow that. It's just disgusting down there. Just what our government has allowed to happen because it doesn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, they can get some mental health. But, and it's all, some people you almost got to force the issue. If they're getting in trouble, and I mean, the only thing they're going to do, you know, it's not for the faint of heart because you'll see some people shooting up right there. And it's pretty bad. But it's not as bad as you would think it is. I mean, there are normal people down there. There's some good people that are just down on their luck. And there's those people that are just, they're on drugs, they enjoy it, and that's where they want to be. And nothing you do about it but pray for them. And they're open to the word. They really are. Nobody has denied it. You know, a couple people down there of the Muslim... You know, a couple of Muslims just say, no. So I don't debate with them, you know, because they don't want to, but...
So you can see the same people. Some people stay there.
Oh, yeah. Like Dorothy, I've seen her for years. I'm praying that, you know, she's very smart, very, very good woman. And the gentleman, I've seen some people that's been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do they have any kind of transportation, like bicycles or...
Some will have bikes, but, you know, they usually stay within their...
So there's not an opportunity to go out and see if there's work?
It's all what you want. So there are options if you really choose for them. But I'm sure a lot of them have to, you have to be sober at that point for people to really give you a chance, and I don't think a lot of people are. And that's the struggle down there.
We're in need of people to work now.
Oh, yeah.
So it just seems like if that those two things could get together.
Absolutely.
Sober.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's a big thing, too. And, you know, I go down there, I don't judge the people because I've seen them so long, and it's really opened my eyes to where I used to be. I'll be honest with you, I used to be judgmental on some people on drugs, and I realized, you know, and I find out how hard it is just to even kick any sort of habit, and how it's much easier if you have a family and a whole support system around you, and the comforts of maybe sitting in your bed watching TV or something through some tough times, or the right medication. And gosh, it's just like, I mean, I think some of these people are just like, if I don't get through the night, I don't get through the night. And
they're best for God, go any one of them.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I've talked to people that have great jobs, family, then next thing you know, wife left them, and they spiraled, didn't have any help, and he goes, I don't even know, I'm here now. Mm-hmm. And the people when you talk to you like that, you feel like they're not going to be there for long. But I still give out my number. I just had somebody text me late last night when I'm coming back. And if I'm not coming back for a few weeks, if somebody needs something, like I said, I'll drive down there. But the tents, you can't. I mean, I think Amy accidentally said the word tent the other time, and that was a mistake. And the next thing you know, they're coming. I'm like, oh, I'm out, because they'll fight over the tents. They will. So I kind of hide those in my car. Then I tell somebody, I feel like I'm doing a drug deal. Because I say, okay, go over on the side of the car. I'll be there in a minute. And they whisper. So then there's somebody comes, hey, I heard you got tents. It's just like that. It's just the funniest thing. I mean, not the funniest, but it's kind of crazy. But it's. I enjoy doing it. I really do.
Do some of them have phones? Cell phones?
Yeah, absolutely. They got government programs for phones, so, you know, it's amazing. They got their speakers and on their bike, and, you know.
Gosh, why don't we plug them in?
They're all battery operated.
Oh.
Yeah. We passed out flashlights last
Where
time.
Where do they plug them in?
Yeah, mostly batteries, but, you know, there are places. You'll see people hang out at some, you know, they got little home things, like little missions throughout, little churches throughout. They all know where to go to get what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, you know, that's why you got to be careful. You can't just, like, let people take, because both, you know, if you set out brand new blankets, they're going to take as many as they can, because they're going to sell them. And that's just it. And God bless them, but, you know, that takes away from the next person.
Where do they get the cash to buy?
Well, sure, maybe government assistance. They probably get some. Dealing drugs, things like that. And that's just it. And there are some people that do work down there, too. And let's be honest, some people just choose to want to live down there. That's where they feel their community, their family, their friends. And so, a lot of times they're the forgotten people. If you go, you can just go to YouTube and punch in like Skid Row, and people will show you walkthroughs during the day, during the night, and it's just you definitely don't want to be there at night.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be anywhere near that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because once you get off on LA and you're going down San Pedro, you know, it's a big almost an Asian community right there. People walk around shopping, I mean, just dressed up nice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a block or two away is Skid Row. So it's like, if you're a tourist down there, you don't want to take the wrong turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, you know, there are some good people down there. They're not just going to let bad things happen without, you know, we can't control some of the bad people down there, but they got their own justice down there as well. So, like I said, I've never been down there fearful. I really haven't.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun. It's a lot of fun, actually. But, yeah, first we'll, you know, send out my information if you guys, you know, prayers, you know, and I'll update you guys, send you pictures. It's a lot of, it I enjoy it a lot. If I can grow it, when I get a point to where I was starting to grow it, then COVID hits. But, you know, as long as we're down there just doing what we do. But like I said, if you guys find any deals on blankets, you know, tents, Bibles, I mean, I'm getting Bibles right now. You know, it's great because I can buy hundreds of them when they have them. But they're the small Bibles. And a lot of people can't read them. So sometimes I get like the New Testament book too that they sell there once in a while. And it's just the New Testament. It's got bigger writing. So I thought about buying reading glasses for the people who needed it. But, you know, things like that. If you know anywhere I can get deals like that, that's great. I appreciate it. Because it definitely helps.
What's the ethnic mix of people?
A lot of Hispanic, mostly African-American probably. Yeah, I would say that. That's your huge majority right there.
Okay.
Huge majority. And
white people.
Not as many. But, and so Spanish Bibles too. That's one thing that I need to get. And because they do ask for, I used to have them. When we were doing it with the other couple who had a huge, huge following, we had a pastor who would bring Spanish Bibles too. So I just get so busy, and it sometimes when that week's coming, then I'm scrambling around trying to get stuff because that's just how life is right now. But I need to order more stuff online, which is much easier. So what I've been doing for blankets too, the cheap way, I go to Harbor Freight, you know, like those moving blankets.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually pretty thick and they're warm. So I was able to get, you know, good deals. I can buy a lot of them. And so, but we take care of the people. They get a lot from us. So, but they need more.
Yeah.
They need to get out of there. They need the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need. And they're always open to prayer. You know, and if they're not, they'll be polite about it. 90%+, which is great. Just need more prayer warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you guys need, you know, any questions, call me. Call Fritz.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for being
over here.